So we're on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, and you may recall that we had Shmuel's statement that seemed to indicate that Achrayis lo tos sofer, ein Achrayis tos sofer. So that's about maybe 12 lines down from the top, 15 lines down from the top. V'amar Shmuel. Shevach Shefer Veshibud Tzorach Limolech. Do you remember this?
Yes.
So let's go over it one more time. That the Mocher who's selling a piece of karka and the Edom are writing up a shtar, and the Mocher is going to give that shtar over to the Lokeach as proof of purchase, that the Lokeach will be able to prove that he bought the land. The Edom have to get the okay, the permission from the Mocher on three different levels. Let's start with the third one, which was really the first on the list, and that's called Shibud. The Mocher becomes responsible through Shibud to back up the sale, which means that if his Balchov, the Mocher's Balchov, comes and confiscates the karka from the Lokeach, Lokeach is going to have recourse to force the Mocher to pay and reimburse him for the money that he spent on buying this karka. That's called Shibud.
So Achrayus is not a Tosofer.
Correct. In other words, Tzorach Limolech means that the Edom have to hear specifically from the Mocher that they are commissioned to write a Shibud in the Shtar. In the absence of Shibud in the Shtar, there ain't no Shibud. And then we have something called Shevach. Then we'll get to Shefer in a minute. Shevach means that, let's say, the karka went up in value from the time of the Mecher until it was confiscated by the Balchov, the Mocher. That increase, that increment in value, has to be backed up and secured and guaranteed by the Mocher. But for that, again, the Mocher would have to specifically instruct the Edom to write down that this Shibud is not just a regular Shibud, it's a Shibud that includes Shevach as well. And finally, Shefer, which would mean that if, let's say, the Mocher has different qualities of Karka, he would have to guarantee the Lokeach that in event that the Lokeach is able to sue the Mocher to get reimbursed for the money that he spent, he would be able to collect it from what's called Idis, from the best quality of Karka. But in any event, all this requires express permission from the Mocher, otherwise the Edom are not permitted to write this in the Shtar. It means that we don't apply the principle of Tos Sofer. That's not a valid principle. And this is against the other statement of Shmuel, who said earlier on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, Omer Shmuel my Tamayu Derabbanan Desavri Achrayis Tos Sofer. And we're going to assume now that, as we mentioned on Thursday, that Shmuel was not just giving us a theoretical analysis of the Chachamim, but he actually agreed that Achrayis Tos Sofer. And here we have a principle called, in the name of Shmuel, that Achrayis Ein Tos Sofer, Ein Achrayis Tos Sofer. So again, when Shmuel, earlier on the Daf, explain the Shita of the Chachamim, the Chacham hold that if even in the event that the Shtar Halva has no Shibud written in it, we assume that there's a Shibud, and therefore the Chacham say that if you have a Shtar Shein Bo Achrayis and you find it in the street, you're not allowed to return it to the Mocher, to the Malva, even if the Lova is Modeh, because you're going to impact on the Lekuchos. There's no Shibud in the Shtar, says Shmuel, the Chacham hold Achrayis Tos Sofer. And now the Gemara is saying, Ubi Omer Shmuel Hachi, Omer Shmuel, Shevach, Shefer, Veshibud, Tzorach Limolech. That in order to create a Shibud on the Shtar, again, that's the case of a Shtar Mecher, but right now the Gemara doesn't differentiate between a Shtar Mecher and Shtar Milver. You must get the express permission of the Mocher. The Edom are not, it's no carte blanche for the Edom to write a Shibud in the Shtar without getting that permission. So the Gemara offers two answers. One is lema man di omar ha lo omar ha. Perhaps we could say that there were two different traditions as to what exactly Shmuel said. There was one Amora who had Shmuel say that the sofer has to be nimlach, he has to get permission from the mocher. And there was another Amora who said in the name of Shmuel that Achrayis tos sofer. And the Gemara says, no, you don't have to go that far. You don't have to say lema man di omar ha lo omar ha. But lo kasha, I can answer the following. Kan bishtar halva delo yoev inish zuzi bechti kan bemekachumemkar di ovid inish dezoven aral yome. So let's flip it around. We'll go backwards. We'll go up from the bottom up. In the case of bishtar mecher, Shmuel requires limolech that the sofer has to get explicit permission to write the shibud, and the reason for that is it's quite common. It's not rare for a person to buy karka. And the Gemara says, liyome. Liyome means he realizes full well that the karka might, down the line, be confiscated from him because of other outstanding loans that the mocher owes. And because of that collection on the shibud. But so what? The mocher and the lokeach still come to some agreement. They hash it out. They work out exactly how much the lokeach is willing to pay for this karka. And it may indeed take into consideration the fact that, you know what, this karka, this sale, is not going to be a permanent one. It may not last, it might not be a long-term sale. It might terminate within a relatively shorter period of time. So you might say, well, why would the lokeach throw his money out, you know, to the wind and let it get just be wasted away without a shibud, without any backing and any guarantee? The answer is because Ovid Inish, the Zovid Ara, Liome, a person in fact might buy a karka knowing full well that he's taking a risk. He might end up with a karka for a very short period of time, but he's willing to buy it even for a short period of time.
And obviously the price will be adjusted accordingly.
Correct. I mean, well, I'm not sure exactly which. The original purchase price.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant the payment. Yeah, because there's no shibud.
In your knowledge of Shas, is there any?
Got the wrong guy for that.
At the time of Chazal, they had insurance for situations like this.
The best I can think of is just the shibud. So, in the case of a lokeach, the Gemara is saying that the lokeach would have to insist on this insurance policy, and he would have to get the mocher, who's the mischayev's, permission to commission the eidim to accept that insurance policy and back up the sale. Let's go back for a minute to up the alley, right back to shtar halva. Mm-hmm. In the case of shtar halva, where we talk about a malve, after all, the malve has no vested interest here. He's not getting any benefits from it. In fact, the Torah says he's not allowed to get benefits. It's an Isur Rivis. So he's out of the magnanimous goodness of his heart. He's extending a loan to someone. He surely wants to know that he's going to get his money back. If he wants to give an outright gift, that's what he'll do. But b'shtar milvul lo yoav inish zuzi bechti, people just don't give out loans for free. Even the most rich people in the world will ask for an insurance policy, a bank guarantee, or in this case a shibud, a lien on the karka, in order to be able to guarantee that they collect their chob. Hence, Achrayis tos sofer, if the sofer left out the shibud, you can bet your bottom dollar it was a mistake on his part. It's as if the shibud was written in the shtar. So this is all a quick overview of what we did on Yom Chamishi of last week. And let's begin the Shia today with Kiyahu Diavua Bar'i. So let's see if we can find that. Let's see, should we count from the top or count from the bottom up?
Right,
I don't know. It's right smack in the middle, right. The line begins with the word the Ovid. Do you see that? The Ovid Inish is Avni Ara Liyome. So at the end of the line, Kiyahi, and the Gemara now is going to bring a proof to Shmuel to differentiate between a shtar milve and a shtar mecher. Kiyahi, like a story of Avua Bar Ihi, Zovin he purchased, again his father's name was Ihi, a very strange kind of name, I never understood. Ihi means he in H-E in Aramaic, I don't know why a person's name would be he. Bar Ihi. Anyway, Zovin Elisa Me'achse. He bought a karka, a very fine quality losa means me'ula, from his own sister. Asa balchov v'tarfa mina. So the balchov to whom the avua bari owed money came along and he confiscated the karka.
Right, balchov of who?
The balchov of avua.
And
right, avua.
Out of his sister.
Right.
Sister.
Oh, I'm sorry. The sister was the seller. You're right. Yeah. You're right. I'm sorry. I got mixed up. Right. I get mixed up between Zovin and Zovan and Zovin. Right. Zovin means he purchased the karka, and now he purchased it from the seller. The seller in this case was his own sister, and now she turns out to have a balchov, and the balchov comes and confiscates the karka from Avua Bar'i. Why? Because there was a shibud on this karka.
Yeah.
For a chov that was owed by the seller, in this case his sister, to so and so. So also lekami demar Shmuel. So Avua Bar'i is now in a very strange situation. His karka that he purchased from his sister has now been confiscated. He wants to sue his sister that she should back up the dmea karka and pay him for the money that he spent. And just because the karka had to back up her chov, he doesn't feel that that's his problem. Amolei, so Shmuel asks Avua Bar'i, kosfoloch achrayus? Did she in fact commission the writers of the Shtar Mecher to include achrayus nechosim ashibu nechosim, that she would back up the monies of this sale in event that this karka is confiscated? Amar lo, I have to admit, Avu Bar'i is an honest person. There was no Shtar achrayus written in this Shtar Mecher. So Shmuel had unfortunate news for Avua Bar'i. Im Kain, if there's no Shibud in the Shtar, Zil Shlomo. In other words, you have to basically pay. What that means is that you don't have any claim against your sister, the Mocheres, to get back the money that you paid for the purchase of the Karka. And the reason for this is because Achrayus lavto sofer, meaning the absence of the shibud in the shtar is deliberate. It means that she, as a seller, never agreed to be meshabed on a chosim to back up this sale, and in event that her debtors will come and collect this karka away from the lokeach, which means avua bar'i, she would back it up and replace the money. And basically, what Shmuel is telling Avua Bar'i is that there's a built-in mechila over here. Yeah, you didn't maybe consciously, you weren't mochel her on this claim, but at least tacitly you were mochel. You waived any claim that you could have against her by not insisting on the shibud in the shtar, on the achrayis in the shtar.
Yeah.
Go pay her. But then why is he the Baldin? She should be the Baldin, saying, I want him to pay me for the land that he bought from me. You follow? He has the money.
What?
I lost her. What happens is she owes money to so and so.
Right.
Right. And she can't pay that chov. So this so-and-so goes to the lokeach, which in this case is her own brother, and he confiscates the karka. So the brother comes and says, wait a minute, I paid you good money for this karka, now I'm left with nothing.
Zil Gishloma, I mean, he didn't pay her yet.
No, he paid her.
So what does Zil Gishloma mean?
No, Zil Shlim means... Zil Shlim, Rashi explains, you take a look at Rashi if you have a chance, Rashi says that Zil Shlim means that you have no claim against her. In other words, whatever you...
Yeah. Right, but if he hadn't paid her yet, he wouldn't have to pay her. No. She would have to bring it to you.
The opposite.
Well, that question, David, I think depends upon Where the karka, no. Then your question would lead us to a different question: what actually clinches the kinyan of karka? So let's assume that the shtar is the shtar raya. So then you might be right, or you might be wrong. Meaning that's a tremendous machlokas between, I think it's the sma and the taz. I forget who holds what.
But it's not here. That's not
what right. But this, I just, for your own edification, this is a fantastic machlokas that is very, very fundamental. I remember back in the day I was Rosh Yeshiva in Mevaseret, so the YU Rebbeim, the Rosh Yeshiva, they come for recruitment, so we try to get some of the Rebbeim to give us a guest shiur. So I remember Rav Willa came and he gave us a guest shiur on this topic that I'm about to express with you, which is Machlokas, the Sma, and the Taz. I forget who holds what. I think the Sma is the one who says that the let me start with the Taz, it's a little easier. The Taz says that basically the kinyan is clinched with one pruta on a kak that's worth millions. Mm-hmm. And the balance is a chov, meaning that the buyer has to pay the seller 99.9999. And there's no backs at all. You can't back out of the deal. The Sma, on the other hand, holds that the pruta is only a down payment. And until the very last penny is paid, the kinyan karka is not clinched. Why do I mention this to you in the context of your question, David? Again, I'm assuming that the shtar is not a shtar kinyan. So again, if the shtar is a shtar kinyan, then what I'm about to tell you is totally irrelevant. But let's say the shtar was given as a shtar raya, and the kinyan was effectuated through kesef. Mm-hmm. So now the question is, did the lokeh pay the kesef or not? According to the Taz, it's irrelevant. As long as he put down one pruta, the kinyan is irreversible. Whereas according to the Sma, until he pays the very last pruta, the kinyan is not clinched. So that when the Balchov, the Mocher, comes along and wants to confiscate the karka from the lokeh could say, I don't want to pay for this karka, according to the Sma, because I didn't pay the last penny yet. And until I pay the last penny, the sale is not valid. I'm just mentioning that for your own edification. It's a very important sugya unto itself.
We don't know if it's a shtar kinyan or not.
Now, this fellow, by the name of Avua Bar Ihi, was a big Talmud Chacham. So he turns to Shmuel, and he says to Shmuel, wait a second, for Amar, right, he speaks to him in third person, Amar Hudi Amar Chrayis Tos Soferu. How can you tell me that I was mochel on the shibud, and therefore when the balchov of the mocher of my sister comes along and confiscates the karka, I have no recourse, right, to collect from my sister. How can you say that? Achrayis told sofer. I was not mochel on Achrayis. I assume that the sofer wrote the Achrayis. And if he didn't write the Achrayis, it's his mistake, it's not mine. There's Achrayis built into this mecher. I'm away. Shmuel responds, and this is what we saw before. Hani mi l'vishtari alva, aval v'shtari mekachu memkar, lo ovin inish zovin ar liyome. He asks him in a question mark. He says the following, inishtar milva, we hold Achrayis tos sofer, and you're right. A malva would not agree to extend a loan without insurance, without backup. And there's got to be a guarantee of shibud, and that's the whole purpose of a shtar milva. And in fact, let me mention to you, just to remind you of the Shita Rabbi Lazar and the name Rabbi Meir, that if a shtar only has that if a shtar has no achrayus in it, therefore it only has the ability to collect from Bnei Chori, that shtar is completely invalid. It's not worth the paper it's written on, except Lotzer al Pitz Lichuso. Why? Because the whole purpose of a shtar milva is to create a shtar to change and transform the milva balpeh to a milva b'shtar. What's the milva balpeh? Shibudim. So if there's no achrayis in the shtar, says Shmuel, in the name of the Chachomim, then achrayis tos sofer. That's the whole purpose of the shtar. But in the case of mekachu memkar, where the lokeach gets benefit, because as soon as he pays for the karka, he begins to market the produce of the karka, so the payros of the karka, up until the point in which the karka is confiscated, is worth something to him. Right? Let's say, for example, you go into a after Pesach, you're entering into the spring and the summer period, and then the harvest is around Sukkot time. So for that 6 month period of time, from Pesach to Sukkot, you're raking it in. You're selling who knows how much produce on the market. And again, that's not your ultimate goal. You'd love to have the ability to do this on an annual basis, but if the karka was confiscated, is low, do we not say, he's asking as a rhetorical question, Ovid inish zovin arli yome? A person might buy a karka for one day. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but it means that for a short period of time, as long as he can produce, he could harvest and market his produce, that's worth it for him. And therefore, if the mocher took upon himself achrayus, that would have to be expressly commissioned to the edim to write the achrayus. And in the absence of achrayus, then we assume that the mocher didn't go that far. How did he clinch the deal with the lokech? The answer is, the lokech was willing to what? To buy a piece of karka which would last for X amount of time. Okay, now we've spoken about the collection of karka from lekuchos. That means if the lover borrows money and he defaults on the loan, then under certain circumstances the malva who lent money to the lover is allowed to go back to those who purchased the karka from the lover. Those are called lekuchos, and he can collect his chov from them. And that's called the backup of shibude karka. So in that context, the Gemara now quotes a statement of Abaye. Okay. Now, David, you mentioned a few minutes ago a principle in Halach, which that's going to become now the center, you know, the focus of our discussion here in Abaye. And that principle is called Lav Bal Dvarim Didiyat, which means that I can sue you in a court of law, but you have the right to say to me, you're not my bal dover, I never knew you, I never met you, I don't have any dealings, I never had any dealings with you. And Abaye is going to throw a curveball here in a case where you and I would have said la bal dover didia, and Abaye is going to say no, he is a bal dover and he does have rights to make this claim. Omar Abaye, Ruvein shemachar soda l'shimon b'achrayus. Ruvain sells a piece of karka to Shimon. And there is achrayus, which means that if Ruvain's balchov, to whom he owes money, comes and confiscates the karka from Shimon, Ruvain becomes responsible to reimburse Shimon for the amount of money that he paid him, maybe even more than that if there was shvach, etc. Fine. Ba balchov de Ruvain, that's exactly what happened. And Ruvain owes a chov to, let's call him Shmerel, right? Just a name, you know, Shmerel. I don't want to call him Levi because sometimes I get confused with Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So Shmerel is the Balchov. So Reuven had borrowed money from Shmerel, and Reuven defaults on the loan. So Shmerel, his Balchov, comes along with Gatarif Lemine. He takes the karka from whom?
Shimon.
From Shimon, right? Because Shimon was the one who bought the karka, and the karka had a shibud on it. Now Reuven wants to come back and he wants to say to Shmerel that, let's say any number of possible claims, but let's just throw out one possibility, we'll go through Blinet or some other possibilities. Reuven wants to come and say, well, you know what, Shmerel, that chov was paid up already, or maybe it wasn't paid up, but you have no rights to that chov. We'll see various scenarios. Now comes along Shmerel and he says to Reuven, who are you? I don't have any dealings with you. My dealings are with Shimon, because Shimon bought a karka that was meshuvah to me. So says Abaye, Dina hu di ozel Reuven umishtoy dina ba'de. Shmuel could now stand up in judgment with claims and counterclaims against Shmerel, against his balchov. And he's going to say, well, this chov was paid up. We're going to see about another possible claim, which Rashi mentions here, which is a little bit more complicated, that what's called the ikuv hachov keneged tviya cheres, which means the following, that let's say Reuven owes money to Shmerel, but Reuven claims that Shmerel damaged his karka, or damaged his, you know...
Yeah, the counterclaim.
Exactly. So in other words, he wants to claim what's called kizuz in modern Hebrew. Are you familiar with that word? In other words, you want to get my chof, you want to collect my chof, well, you owe me a chof. And one should cast out the other.
We'll subtract your chof from my chof, and I'll owe you less.
Correct. So says Abai, Lo Motzi Omarle Lav Bal Dvarim Didiat. The Balchov of Reuven, who's now Shmerel, as we call him, does not have a right to say to Reuven, and this is a halachic principle, by the way, because a tviya in Bezdin is a chaloshem. It's a halachic entity. You know, it's not just that, well, I'm going to sue you, I'm going to claim to you. I can't just claim to you something unless I am a baldovar. If I'm not a baldovar, I'm not a baldvarim, then I don't have any right to come forth with any claim. Comes along Shmerel, and he looks at Reuven in the eyes, and he says, get lost. This is before Abaye, obviously, right? He says, get lost. I don't have any dealings with you. I am collecting a chov from Shimon, because Shimon has karka that's meshubad to me as a buyer of karka that was leaned to the balchov. And you want to deal with this, you know, again, it could be that Reuven, for a different sum of money, if there's a Dinu Dvarim on a different sum of money, like what we said before, you know, if there's another claim and so on, he can start a brand new Din. Do you follow me? But in terms of this Din, again, it's all before Abaye, it's between Shmerel and Shimon. Shmerel is now suing Shimon in a court of law, claiming that Shimon owes him this karka, so to speak, right? Because the karka is meshubad. There's a lien on the karka to back up the chov. And now, you know, let's say, for example, Shmerel has a shtar, correct? How do you collect from lekuchos? You have to come with a shtar. I mean, that's what we've been discussing for the last couple of weeks. That the shtar is the weapon in the hands of the malve to collect from the lekuchos of the love. So the malve is now suing, based on this shtar, the lekuchos of the love. So let's say, for example, there's a shtar mecher that post-dates the shtar milveh, right? So Shmerel is holding on to a shtar milveh from Aleph Nisan, and on Aleph Tishrei the karka of Reuven was sold to Shimon, and we can prove that in a court of law. Then cut out Reuven. Reuven, we can completely circumvent you from this din. Why? Because Shmerel has a shtar milveh. Not only that, there's a shtar mecher, and the date of the shtar milveh is earlier than the shtar mecher, which means that Shmerel could come directly to Shimon and sue Shimon in a court of law. If he could do so, if he has all the raias and all the evidence that he needs to do so, then Reuven becomes what's called a lav bal dvarim. And even though he may... What?
He's out of it.
Right, he's not in the picture because I have a direct cause or a claim against Shimon. I meaning Shmerel, and Reuven. You know, you want to come up with a different din, and you want to maybe sue me or this or that or claim blah 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 whatever your claims are and counterclaims. That's a whole different din. But right now, bug off, as we say. You have no right to be here in this Bezdin. You have no right to put forth any claims. I have a direct claim against Shimon. Says Abaye, nay, it's not so. Why? We're going to say that Reuven is a baldin, and it's not another tviya that Reuven might have against Shmerel and say, well, I paid you, or you owed me all the money. The Amar Le, the Mafkis Mine Ale Didi Hadar. What's going to happen is that since the Mechira, this is Reuven talking, since the Mechira to Shimon has a Shibud in it, therefore Shimon is going to come back and he's going to sue me. So even though right now we're not up to stage number two, but since stage number two is a direct result of stage number one, which means that if Shmerel will succeed in his tviya against Shimon, Shimon will turn around and it'll be tovei mi, says Reuven, and that's called the mafkis mine. You know, whatever you'll take from him, you know, whatever you'll be motzi. You Shmerel from Shimon b'motzi b'din is a lady day harder. He's going to come back and now sue me for damages, and therefore I am a baldin. So let's just understand the Chiddush of Abaye. Abaye is saying that if you have two different dinim, two different judgments or court cases, and the second one is a direct result of the first one, meaning if Beis Din is going to decide in a decision between two people something that's now going to have an impact on a third party, then that third party is now called a Baal Dovar, even though he is not being sued in a court of law. But if as a result of the final judgment in the first case, the Baal Din will come back to claim against him, he's elevated to the status of a Baal Dovar. Now, we're going to have to introduce another concept here called taromis. Are you familiar with taromis? Taromis. Taromis is what I call moral law. You know, there's legal monetary law, which is, you know, a shava pruta, and there are edim, and the Beis Din will have to come to a decision. And then there's something called taromis. I'll give you an example of taromis. Taromis. This is a sugya I think it's the sixth parak of Bava Metzia. Let's say, for example, you hire somebody to work for a day and to finish the job at the end of the day. So the halacha is, I mean, again, we'd have to learn Asokha Sapa, but theoretically, everything has to be checked out, obviously. I'm just trying to give you a mashal of Ma'adom Adoma. The poel is allowed to back out in the middle of the day. Not only is he allowed to quit in the middle of the day, but he's allowed to he's allowed to collect his wages. Like, obviously not the whole wage, but half the wages. But there's something called taromis. Taromis is a moral claim, meaning that the Baal Bayis has a moral claim. Why? Because till he finds other workers to fill the job, finish the job, and midday, imagine running around looking for workers midday, so that's going to be a real headache for him.
I'm sorry, can we equate taromis actually with, in other places in Shas, it's called Din Shamayim?
Very similar. It's similar to Din Shamayim. It's different in one sense. A Din Shamayim means that you owe me money, but I can't force you to pay it. Taromis means you don't owe me a dime, but I have a claim against you, a moral claim. You know, you messed me up.
I mean, it sounds
they're
the same.
No, not at all. Here, take for example the famous case
so they broke the thing. And
he broke the fence
anyway.
Right. So let's say I broke the fence. I have to pay you for the fence, but your animal went loose. So that's called Chayav Din Shamayim. There, I really owe you the money. Ad Kedei Kach, the Meiri says that I'm posel yedus until I pay you that money. I can't force you to pay that money because you're a grum ben ezekin. It's the only chayav b'din shamayim. That's a real chiyuv mum. Taromis is something totally different. Taromis is what I call an Erev Yom Kippur halacha. On Erev Yom Kippur, you have to ask this fellow for mechila because you caused him some sort of an indirect loss. But again, not a monetary loss. There was no mazik or anything of that sort.
That's
of...
Goreim, right? That's what we have to distinguish.
No, but again, grum ben ezekin means that, again, I was a mazik. It's just I didn't do the maisa. Here, I was in my rights. The Gemara derives from sukim that a pol yochel achzibar afilu bem sayom. I can back out in the middle of the day. But nevertheless, under certain circumstances, you could have a claim against me. On Erev Yom Kippur, I'm going to have to ask you for mechila because I really messed you up. But what do I mean I messed you up? I didn't mess you up in a legal sense. Again, I wouldn't be chashon posel yevus if I don't ask mechila for taromis. So now let's look at the Ika Diarmi. There's a whole new understanding of Abaye that's about to be presented. We understood that Abaye was willing to elevate Reuven to the status of a Baal Dovar. Why? Because as a result of the impact of this Psak Din with regard to Shimon, Shimon's going to turn around and he's going to sue me, meaning Reuven.
He's going to involve Reuven.
No. That doesn't make you a Baal Dovar. According to the second shot in Abaye, Ika Diarmi, that's not a Baal Dovar. But rather what? Iko diamri afilu below achrayus nami. Now again, these words afilu below achrayus nami might lead us to the conclusion that the Iko diamri is not arguing with the first lishna. Usually when we see Iko diamri, we rack our brains and figure out, you know, start calculating all the nafkaminis between the lishna kama and the lishna basra. it could be that you don't have to do that in this case. There is no nafkamina between the Lishna Kama and Lishna Basra. The Lishna Basra is adding to the Lishna Kama. And he's saying that even if the sale between of karka between Reuven and Shimon was without achrayus, and again in the Shtar Mecha we said achrayus ain't tos so fair, nevertheless Reuven still has a right as a baldover. Why? The Omer Le, because Reuven has a right to say to Shmelki, what was his name? Shmerel. Lo nichale de lehevi Shimon taromes alai. So it's really fascinating. The difference between achrayus and the absence of achrayus is in dine momonos, not in ethical law. In ethical law, in all cases, you have achrayus, meaning that you messed up this locat, this buyer, because at the end you sold him a bag of air, you know, of hot air, you know what I'm saying? The Gemara uses that phrase very often, you know what I'm saying? Well, what did you sell him? You sold him a piece of karka, and they took away the karka. The guy paid you money for the karka, and now they confiscated the karka. Oh, I'm a tzaddik, I don't have to pay you a dime, because there was no achrayus. I never took achrayus to back up this sale. Yeah, but look at his situation. You got your chov paid up, right, through the Gevira Milakuchos, and this poor lokeach ends up with nothing. You know, his pockets are inside out. He spent X amount of money, a large sum of money on the karka, and he ends up with nothing. He doesn't have the karka, he doesn't have his money back. That's called taromas. Now what it means is, again, according to strict law, Shimon has no claim against Reuven because Reuven never took a achrayus. But there's an Erev Yom Kippur halacha called taromas. That an ethical, I would quote, again, I'm afraid to say this, but I quote the possible Asisa Vayoshev Atov. There's something that is a good and a right that's beyond the letter of the law. That's enough to make me into a Baal Dvar. Why? Because Shimon is going to walk around with taromas against me. And rightfully so, because I messed him up. So it's really fascinating, and we're going to try to go through the Rishonim on this, but even in situations where legally I've protected myself by the law, there's something that goes beyond the law. And that's when you have a taromas situation. Now, what I would suggest here, and again, you can fight me tooth and nail, and I'll be very happy if you do, but I think that the machlokas here between the two lishonas is a one-way machlokas. What do I mean? The second lishna is not arguing with the first lishna. But the other way around, there might be a machlokas. The first lishna in Abaye says that to upgrade your status to a baal dover, you have to be chayev bedinei momonos. This taromas business, very nice, you know, we'll work on it on Erev Yom Kippur, you know, as the Rambam says, Ein Yom HaKippur Mechaper, Adshe Yiratzes Chavero. So he needs Ritzu, Ritzu Chavero, for the Kapor of Yom HaKippur. That's a Yom Kippur, that doesn't make you into Baal Dover. Mm-hmm. Baal Dover, according to the first Lishna, has to be in Dini Momonos. And therefore, I cannot be open to reinterpret Abaye and say if there was no achrayus. Again, the very case that was brought here, let's go over the case itself in Abaye. Omer Abaye, Reuven Shemachar Sadu Shimon, what does he add? Knock, knock, anybody home? Omer Abaye, let's just go back a few lines to the Gemara.
Bachrayas,
he added the word Achrayas. According to the first Lishna, it wasn't just that he added the word Achrayas. He paskin this way only because there was Achrayas. And once there's Achrayas, let's say it's written in the Shtar, because we're holding now that Ein Achrayas Tosof. So it was written in the Shtar. Once there's Achrayas in the Shtar, that gives him the status of a Baal Din. Mm-hmm. However, in a case where there's no achrayus, fine, taromas is very nice, but that's not a baal din. A baal din means a dini momonos. And that's where the second lishna, I think, is adding and expanding the first lishna. And he's saying you could take out the word achrayus in this story and the din wouldn't change. He still has the status of a baal dover. Okay. Now here we have a kasha of Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Akiva Eger asks the following kash. I'll just read to you the language. It's in a tshuva of Rabbi Akiva. He says, I don't understand this. The Gemara is so dramatic here with this chiddush of Abaye. You know, you can imagine some phantom cholek on Abaye. What kind of phantom cholek? How could it be possible, even as a havamina, that the malva could push off the lova with the words, with the claim, lav al dvarim midivya? He has no right, Shmerel, right? Shmerel has no right to this karka. Who invited Shmerel to take away this karka from this poor Nebuch Lokeach? The answer is, because Lokeach is an Orev. That's how Shibud works. He's an Orev to back up the Chov that the Mocher owes to the Shmerel, that Reuven owes to the Shmerel. Yeah. Well, guess what? Talocha is, beautiful Kasha Rebbe Kivega, Ein Nifraim in a Orev Tchila. We never go to collect from the Orev. We always go to the Lova first. And only when the Lova defaults, then and only then do we have recourse to collect from the Orev. The Orev is not your first one online. You're on the firing line.
Reuven's the first one.
Exactly. So who needs Abaye? Reuven is the Baldover in this case. Because before Shmuel could have a claim against Shimon, he has to first sue Reuven and say, look, I have a shtar chov. You got to pay me up. If you don't pay me up, then I'll go to the Orev. But until you take Reuven to Beis Din with a lawsuit, there's no claim whatsoever against Shimon. So what was the havamina here, says Rabbi Kivega, that the claim of Shmerel to Reuven is your lav baldvarim midivya. So I'll be honest with you, Rabbi Kivega doesn't give an answer, and the Achronim here give an answer, and that's, you know, in the back of the Masif there's something called the Yalkut HaBiurim. Yeah. Anyway, well, the Yalkut HaBiurim, I mean, you could find it here too. Maybe I don't know if we want to take the time right now. But there's a lot of literature on this kasha of Rabbi Kivega. What I would like to do is, I want to give you what I think is the tamtzit hadvarim. You know, the kivun, shall we say, the general direction to answer Rabbi Kivega's kasha.
Repeat the question.
Kasha, beautiful kasha. Mamish, this is like what we in boxing we call it a TKO kasha. This is like just it's like out of the box. I mean, you forget it. You're not even a contestant anymore. What are you talking about? Lav bal dvarim midivya, right? The whole havamina that Abaye is coming to fight is that Shmerel is claiming to Reuven, get that guy out of here, bug off, because you're not a baldover. What do you mean you're not a baldover? Shmerel has no right to sue Shimon until first he comes to Reuven and says, buddy, I got a shtar chov. You're signed on the shtar chov. It says you owe me kapu. You don't have the money? I can resort to collect for lakuchos. But Shmerel has no right to collect for the lakuchos.
He doesn't even know who they are.
Right. Well, he'll figure out who they are because he was very careful to make sure he would know who was buying this karka because he owns a shibud on the karka. But my point is something else, that you can't knock Reuven out of the box here because Shmuel has no claim against Shimon without first suing.
Oh, wait a second. No, he went to the land registry even before he went to Reuven.
He has no right to do that. Shimon could say to him, go fly a kite. First, I'm an Orev. I have to back up this chov. First, collect from the lova. If the lova defaults, that's a different story. I bought a karka with a lien on it. I'm an Orev. But Rabbi Kivega says that a law of an Orev. Now, I know my wife and I think I told you a few times, we used to run a gemach. It really came through my in-laws back in New York. So we used to run a gemach. And we never gave a gemach until someone had an Orev. In fact, we required two Orev. Because basically, once you lend out money in a gemach, kiss a gemach. Maybe there's a chance you get some money from the Orev. Even that's very complicated. Very complicated. But you don't go in an Orev until you go to the Lover himself. The Orev is only going to step into the shoes of the... So this Rabosai really touches on a famous sugya in Masechta Sanhedrin. And the question is, in Masechta Sanhedrin, whether the Orev could testify on the Halva itself. What is the status of an Orev? The Gemara has two opinions. Is he called a Maldavar or no? This is a Dinu Dvar between the Malv and the Love. And if the Orev has something to testify, he was there and he saw the Alvar, he saw the payment, whatever he saw, he could testify. It's not a Baldavar. It's only after we establish that the Lov has to pay the Malva or doesn't have to pay the Malva, then the Orev becomes a Baldavar. But he's not a Baldavar until we flesh out the Din of Dvarim, the claims and counterclaims in the Malva of the Lov. So one opinion, the Gemara Sanhedrin, is that the Orev is kosher, he can come forward and testify. Why? Because right now he steps aside. He's not part of the Din Udvar. Now, the other Shita in the Gemara says, no, that the Arab is Posseliatus. Why? So here there are two Shitas. One Shita is because the Malva could claim directly from the Arab. And that's based on a shita that says Arus requires a kinyan. It's not enough what's called Dvarim B'Alma. So that, you remember we spoke about the kinyan Dvarim? I think we mentioned that concept here. No, yes. Or was that elsewhere? Kinyan Dvarim. So if you hold that an Arev is a kinyan Dvarim, and you need a kinyan from the Arev, then it could be that the Malva has direct recourse to collect from the Arev. And the Arev could now go back to the Lova and say, Mr. Lova, you owe me the money. And therefore the Arev is posseliatus. So the two nafkaminas here. Nafkamina number one is that the Arev needs a kinyan. Nafkamina number two is once the Arev gets that kinyan, or the Malva gets the kinyan from the Arev, then the Arev becomes Baldavar. And the third nafkamina is that now that he becomes Baldavar, the Malva has a right to skip over the Lova. And let's say, for example, the Malv is out in, I used to give China, but nowadays, I don't know, you can't talk about China too much. I heard that South Africa is still doing well. So let's say the Malv and the Arev are in Johannesburg, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to, the Malv says, I'm not going to run all the way to Yerushalayim, to have a claim against the Lov. I have the Arev is right here in front of me. I can collect from the Arev. So that's one approach to answer of Kibega, which means that we'll have another nafkamina here, and that nafkamina will be that the Lova might be a la baldvarim actually without a baye, because the Malv has recourse to collect directly from the Arev. But let's go with the other sheet, that the Malv has to collect from the Lova first, and only if the Lova defaults, then and only then he has recourse to collect from the Arev. Shtar is different. In a case of a milva bal peh, enochinami, the tviya is against the lova. But shtar is different. As we said before, the whole purpose of the shtar, and now we're holding that achrayis tos sofer, the purpose of the shtar is to create the shibud on the character. Okay. Now, what happens the moment that the shtar is written and the shibud is generated? What happens at that point? Oh, hi, Lenny. How are you? What happens at that point is that the lokeach is buying a karka that really doesn't belong to the mocher. What do I mean? The mocher is only giving what we call a kinyan peros. He's only giving a temporary kinyan and a very conditional kinyan to the lokeach. And basically he's saying to the lokeach, look, this karka doesn't really belong to me. Because half a year ago, I borrowed money, and I was mashabi this karka. The shibud is a kinyan. In fact, it's a machlokas abayi barova with a balchom gobel l'mafreyu gobel. So let's assume, I don't know, we don't paskel l'mafreyu gobel, but if you'd say l'mafreyu gobel, then from the moment of the halva, the lover has already been maknet to the balchom kinyanim, again, conditional kinyanim, in the karka. And if that be the case, then we can answer Kivegas Kasha, because the Malva, in this case we'll call him Shmerel, you know, comes to Shimon and he says, Shimon, you bought my cock, I want it back. So Reuven says, well, wait a minute, let's hold on a second, I paid you back, blah, 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 he has all sorts of times to twist. The answer is, he's a lot more fun. Okay, Rabbi, so this is where we're going to stop here. Let's make a note of it, that we're up to V'Omer Abaye, correct? V'Omer Abaye, on the bottom of Daf Yudalit Omid Beis. Three lines up from the bottom. Okay then, so let me just put this away.